Jodie Hill, welcome to My Worst Leadership Moment podcast. How are you?
Good, and you? Hi, Brendan.
Very, very well. Thank you for coming on and being a guest on this show. Jodie, let's dive straight in. And do you want to give us a bit of a 2 to 3 minute summary of your leadership journey, what you do and who you help?
Thanks, Brendan. Well, my leadership journey started since I was really young. Like, I've been involved in coaching since I was in my teenage years and all the way through. And so the coaching initially started out as more sports orientated, and over the years it's moved into teaching and, you know, learning and educating. And then in the last sort of 20, I'm giving a lot away here about my age, in the last 20 years, it's been more with adults and the professional world and with businesses. And so that's kind of how it's journeyed along.
Fantastic. And I reckon it's probably why we get on so well. We've got a bit of a different sports, but a bit of a sporting background. We're quite active and we resonate with that coaching from a young age, isn't it? It's sort of something that we probably both didn't realize at the time, but we really started coaching, you know, when we were almost when we were in nappies, was it?
It feels like I might have been quite bossy from then, like, because, you know, when you're five, you're telling the adults what to do.
No, you wouldn't be bossy, surely not.
Well, there's always that fine line between are you being bossy and bullish versus are you leading, you know? There's sometimes a fine line.
Yeah, well, when you're bossing me around, I take it as leading, so I'm comfortable with that. Look, I know you're pretty tense about this moment, Jodie, so let's get into it. How about you share the background story of your worst leadership moment?
Okay, so I have some notes here. I just want to say that, first of all, before I share, just because this is quite an emotional story that I haven't shared out there before, besides with a few people close to me. And I just want to take you back to a sort of it's more recent and a worst leadership moment that commenced at the beginning of 2020. So that's a significant year for all of us in the world, where I encountered both a leadership challenge that was impacting and disabling for me professionally and personally. So just to give you the background, I co-founded JoMat Investments in South Africa, which was a services-based business that was almost a decade old at this point in 2020. And it was like coaching, leadership and change management. And we were poised to secure a decade-long project, which was meaning a lot of growth and stability for the team, but also an unbelievable service and difference we were going to make in South Africa. And so we were preparing for this resource-wise in 2019. And this would actually align beautifully because I was having a pivotal moment personally where I was going to have a new chapter of moving back to Australia in 2020 with my children. And so I was struggling with the professional leap of how we were going to make this all happen, set up in Australia. And as I was struggling in the days leading up to leaving, a personal tragedy also struck. And my helper walked into the room as I was preparing for the day and had suffered a massive ordeal whereby her children were viciously attacked in their home in Bulawayo. And she immediately looked to me for leadership and support. So this was in the family dynamic. And this was just these days, like I say, before I'm moving as well. And there was professional stuff going on. So I was devastated. Her children were like more than a niece or a nephew to me. And she was like a sister. And so we immediately had to get her moving and off to Bulawayo to see what was happening and if her children would survive the incident. So that was the first part. And then unbeknown that this would also be this precursor to the chaos that was about to engulf the whole world. So returning to Australia in 2020 and stepping into a reality where the pandemic asserted itself, all the borders were starting to close. So I thought to myself, wow, there's a lot going on for me. I'm moving country. I'm waiting to hear that if my helper's children are going to be okay. And obviously, despite the challenge, my initial response was innovation and adaptability because that's what I taught. So I was innovative and we were adaptable. And we were asked to assist initially with a global corporate in Africa. So that was in about 15 African countries. with 16 webinars in April, which I was like, this is amazing, where we were going to empower over April 1,800 individuals to do what? To survive lockdown and thrive beyond. So I was inspired in April. I was like on my way and I was talking to my team and I said, we're going to be okay, even though lockdown had started. And I thought to myself, this is going to be great. However, complexity started to deepen because my husband also happened to get caught in the lockdown in South Africa while myself and my children were here in Australia.
In the hybrid working world, I've seen too many business owners and their businesses suffer because of poor performing employees, leading to below average results. If you want to improve your employees' performance to deliver consistent results for your business, you have to master one-on-one meetings. The doors to our Master One-on-One Meetings training program are opening soon. I'll teach you how to improve employee performance and deliver consistent results using one-on-one meetings. To be one of the first people notified when the doors open, go to leaderbydesign.au/waitlist. Don't wait, sign up now.
So that was quite tricky, as you could imagine. And I was juggling homeschooling, work, and the immense pressure of remote leadership to keep everyone feeling okay. And this is something that I love to do, be the mother of the ship, actually mother the individuals you serve, mother your clients, mother your team, and mother your family. And that included everyone. And so as the crisis persisted, as you can imagine, the illusion of control started to crumble. And the tools and strategies that I had relied on for all these years and taught to thousands of people were actually failing to work at this point. And that's why I'm looking at my notes to make sure I get the order. So thank you. And by May, the stark reality had set in. I'm getting through this. By this time, there was rising unemployment in South Africa, and unlike Australia, there was an absence of government support. So the JobKeeper and JobSeeker that existed here in Australia did not exist in South Africa for my team, and we had no work besides the coaching that I was doing virtually and the webinars because our change management and our social facilitation work was shut down for 5 months. So now I was like having this reality, and the livelihood of my team members was dangling by a thread because we had a certain amount of savings and we had no support. So I was like, how am I going to do this from Australia? So I was getting on calls and I was actually starting to be engulfed by this hopelessness in the dark of home at night, not showing it, but I could feel my facade was starting to crack. And I just started confronting the limits of my expertise, the limits of the situation. And I was preaching still, we're adapting, we're resilient, we're innovative, we're going to get through this. But inside, I was consumed by absolute doubt and fear. And to complicate it further, my partner, because I have a business partner, Joe Matt was Jody and Matzaleng, it was the two of us combined, had another business, which was real estate business, and it called on her to give her full attention to one, which she chose her long-standing 20-year-old business, which was understandable. And that left sort of me trying to do remote leadership with a team where there was unemployment was at this point about 36%. So you can imagine I didn't really know what I could do at this point, not just there, but I was also personally dealing with a crisis in two areas. So I actually felt useless, Brendan. I had no idea how to solve this problem. And I actually rang my grandparents and I just cried because I was like, I've got 95-year-old grandparents that are still living on their own here in Australia and my greatest inspiration. So I just rang and I didn't know I was going to cry, and I just cried to them because it was a safe space for me to sort of let go. And I guess that really showed my vulnerability. And what it really demonstrated how much got exposed in that time, which was the raw core of my actual leadership capabilities as a mother, as a friend, as a colleague, and a business owner. And it laid that profound vulnerability of not only unpredictable events and leading through a global crisis, but also my personal and professional limitations. So that's my story. Thank you.
It's quite a story, Jodie, and thank you for sharing it with me and our audience. You're a very reflective person, and I can see it's still very, very raw, but what were the things that were impacting you most, and therefore the sort of consequences of the actions and that impact hitting you?
Yeah, so if I go back to the start of the journey with my helper, the biggest impact was the unknown, because her children and her helper in Bulawayo were flown to Harare and they were in ICU, and there's this long journey that she had to take on terrible roads in Zimbabwe to try and get there, and there's no connectivity. So I didn't hear from her until I arrived in Australia. So initially it was just the sickening feeling of that first step. Unfortunately, her helper passed away, but the children survived after 3 months. They actually had about 3 months in hospital. And so I guess I sort of had some resilience at that point, and I thought to myself, okay, like, this is what I do. Like my dad taught me from my coaching days, you know, in sport and things. And I just was like, you get up and you go again. And so that's what I did at that point. And I think I was pretending that I was okay. Like, so, you know, when you pretend that you've got this injury or you've hurt your leg, but you go back on the field anyway. And I think I was actually pretending, but I didn't know it at the time.
Yeah, some pretty big moments. How did it impact your ability to mother? So you've got two, not young children, but youngest children.
Yeah, so actually, that was an interesting time, and I'm sure everyone else felt the same way, but I do remember that the homeschooling, if anyone knows what that was like, you now are trying to juggle preparing for the work that you need to do as a business owner, but you've also got children that need your attention who've never been at home to do schooling before. So now you're a teacher to them and helping them, and the whole world didn't know what was going on. So the one thing about that was difficult, that part, but the beautiful part as a mother was I just knew that I need to connect in. I need to be making sure they've just moved country. Their father is now stuck in another country, and we don't know if we can get back together anytime soon. We didn't know how long. So I knew I had to be the rock, and I was at that point in time.
You've spoken like a true mother. How long do you think it was that you started to be that rock again for your team and for your business from that remote position you were in?
So that's a great question. Initially, I was a great rock, because I was thinking like a normal person would, you know, that, you know, we can adapt, because this is what we train others to do. We train them how to be great leaders and adapt to these global circumstances, things that are macro influences. So I thought, well, I'm just going to use the same tools that I would give to others. So initially I was a rock, but as other challenges came, like that just started to wear away, and I just didn't want to be that rock. I couldn't even be the rock for myself. So how could I do it for anyone else?
Yeah, fair point. Maybe a little bit like a bit of sandstone, sort of fairly solid, but then things keep hitting it. It just chips away a little bit easier, doesn't it? So what did you learn about yourself in that situation, Jodie?
The biggest thing I learned is that it's okay not to be in control, like, of everything, and that it's not possible, actually. So I learned, like, got really humbled, but at the same time, I learned that I don't need to be in control. And actually, the biggest thing was that there's always someone to reach out to, and people are just as caring. Like, you know, even strangers, like, you know, people are there for each other. And so I think I learned a lot about humanity in that time.
Yeah, obviously, as you said, hubby was still out of the country, forced because of the situation at the time. You had your dear grandparents who are a support network, but what knowing that anything can happen in the future and you just don't know, what sort of support network or networks have you built since then?
Yeah, so there was a few amazing things that came out of it. The first thing that happened was that, you know, people are more understanding than I realized. You know, my team could see that I had, that we, my business partner and I, were trying our best to help them and to think of how they could help themselves, and how to draw on their own support networks outside of us. So that was a big thing. So I think the team was supporting back, you know, and that made me realize how important in a business, even though you might sit as the owner of a business, that actually you can sometimes draw on their support. So that's been a bit of a game changer. You don't always have to be the one that's supporting them. It can work both ways. And I think that's a big life-changing moment. But what also happened was the tools and strategies that I had weren't working, because for the first time, I was just as anxious as some of the leaders get when they call out to me for help. And I actually went back to the drawing board and became really creative in that year. And I went back and I said, okay, well, what do you do in this situation? And that actually birthed a change in the way that I work my tools, and I birthed getting one day right. So that was the creative part.
Nice. It's fantastic how they're, you know, in these moments of real challenge, there is a silver lining, and often there can be multiple silver linings, which someone with your bubbly personality and approach to life will always find, I'm sure. So given that that was sort of 2020 and a fair chunk of 2020, we met sort of a little bit after that, but how has that shaped your own leadership journey, particularly in the last few years since those events took place?
Oh, that's a wonderful question. I think that I've realized that when the emotions are high, like I've got my little cup, this is my little character that came out of it, Negative Nancy. So there she is.
Love it, Negative Nancy.
Yeah, and so when Negative Nancy comes out, there's always an opportunity in the challenge, but you need to slow down enough, call on the support to actually dig into it a bit more, you know. So it's to slow down, Brendan, and to take a look at the problem, because you can't ignore it. Like, we couldn't ignore the global pandemic. I tried to ignore things for a while, and it got the better of me. So when you start to feel anxious and become a little bit like Negative Nancy, which can happen on a daily basis, by the way, it's a good signal to stop. And that's what I do now. I'll stop, I'll slow down, and I'll do something that's actually like a personal growth thing or something for myself. And then I'll come back to the drawing board and I'll say, let me look at this problem and take my time with it so I can find that silver lining or the opportunity that lies within it.
To close out, have you got a tip that you could share with our audience on what's really worked best for you in slowing down? Because I'm sure there'll be many people listening to this that would love a tip to help them slow down.
Yes, so I'm fortunate enough that there's a tool called Imago, and Imago, I'm a professional facilitator. It's one of the things that I learned to do earlier, but I didn't realize the benefit of this facilitation technique that I learned until now. And what it's really good for is it's asking someone to mirror. So, you know, sometimes just to hear your voice being heard is enough, to hear how you sound or to hear when you've got a problem. But what it does is it slows down the breath, it gets you connecting, and it gets you to hear your voice back. And through that process, somehow you seem to discover the way. So what do I do as the tip? I just find someone and I say, all I want for you to do is to listen and mirror what I say. So, Brendan, I hear you say that I'm to share my tip, you know, and I'm just saying back exactly what the other person has said so they can hear their own voice. And just through that mirroring process, there's a couple of things that happen. One, everybody wants to be heard, but sometimes no one's listening and truly listening. And so when you get heard, that immediately calms you, slows you down, but you can also hear what's going on for yourself in your own head And that allows you to go a little bit deeper with this safety process. So you can go a bit deeper, keep going and unearth things for yourself. And I find that has been one of the tools that I've drawn upon, especially when you're really anxious, when you're stressed, when you're overwhelmed. That's the one. And I'll give you one more tip.
You're always an overachiever, aren't you?
Well, I am now that I've said the story, is this getting one day right. That's the getting one day right. And getting one day right is to just sit down and, you know, the Eisenhower matrix as well. Like it's the four quadrants.
Yep.
And you know, most leaders will know this, but use the four quadrants. This is just a quick tip. I'm not going to go too much into it for your day. Take those four quadrants and say, what is, and don't worry about the other three. Just worry about the do today, the things that are most important. And that's in the top left quadrant. I'm sure we can share that Eisenhower matrix. And what you do is it's the most important, highest priority things, and it can be personal or professional, and the most urgent. They're the now tasks. And you put those down in a block. And that allows you to focus, slow down, but also give focus to the highest priority actions that you can do. So that will allow you to get one day right, which gets many days right.
Love it, Jodie. Always coaching. love the Eisenhower matrix, definitely. I know you've told me a little bit about Imago before, but you've just given me a reason to not feel so awkward when I'm sort of talking to myself and practicing my speaking in front of the mirror now. So I'm sort of just Imagoing myself.
Yes, Brendan, some will call you a little bit crazy.
Some would. I've been called a lot worse, but anyway, let's go there. Yeah. Jodie, look, I want to say again, massive thank you for coming on, being so vulnerable. Again, I know that was a really tough and still very raw moment in the story you shared at the top of the show. So thanks very much for coming on and sharing with our audience your worst leadership moment.
Thank you, Brendan.